little bit of change of order here until everything comes together. So just want to welcome everybody here today. Maybe before we get started this morning, you know, this is a new year, a 2020. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution? Or over the Christmas holidays or the end of the year, have thought to yourself, there's a couple things I want to change. There's some things I want to see different in my life. Has anybody made any resolutions? Some of us? Or maybe not even a resolution, but in your heart you thought, you know, I'm not meeting my desired goals, or I've not been as effective in life as I wanted to be. What inspires you to make resolutions? And does anybody, Abe's got a mic back here, maybe just for the couple minutes here, let's just get some stuff from the audience here of, if you make a resolution, what inspires you to make a resolution? Ron?
To fulfill a promise to God?
I love that. I love that. Anybody else? Do you, as people, do you have heroes? Do you have role models? Do you have somebody you look up to as people? Have you ever looked at some person or maybe a ministry organization or business or maybe some church events, and you wished you had what they had? Anybody in here done that? In that thinking, as you looked out and you thought, you know what I see that person's life or whatever I would like to have you ever tried to become like them? He's going to be brave enough to admit it. Or am I the only one? How do you serve God this morning? How do we come in alignment with what He has for our lives? The question I want to ask today, and if this is the only thing you remember from today, this will be all that you, if there's anything you remember today, this is what I want you to remember. What if instead of becoming as, we would be obedient unto? Think about that. What if instead of becoming as, we would be obedient to God? How many of us know of things that God has asked of us right now? We know of areas in our life that God has spoken to us personally. What if we would become obedient to rather than trying to become like something? I found this verse in Ephesians 2, verse 7. He's speaking about us being made alive in Christ. Then he says this, he's talking about God referring to us as people. And try to capture what he's saying here. He's saying, so God can point to us people here, to us, in all future ages, as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. This is what I want you to think about as we go through. I'm going to go through Hebrews 10, 11, through some of the, what we call heroes of faith. I'm going to look at their lives. What is the story that is actually being communicated to us there? Is it the story of heroes of faith, or is it the story of God's goodness toward people? What are we supposed to get? Because in Ephesians here, he says that every one of us, God has a plan for every one of us right now, that after we're dead, maybe like 100 years from now, somebody's going to look at our story, our life, and say, God was good. I had never before really thought of it that way, but as I looked at Hebrews then, and I thought of it that maybe these stories weren't written up so that we would become like Abraham, Moses, all these people, but that we would recognize God's goodness and we would see the faith they had, the obedience they had, and instead of becoming like them, instead of desiring to become like them, we would be obedient to God's call upon our life. Just think about the results. Do you think there's different results on how we look at that? Think about disappointments. Will one have a disappointed life and the other will have a fulfilled life? So I'm going to read a portion here of Hebrews 11. Okay, no, there's one more thing that I want to just point out before we get into this. And that is Hebrews 11, starting verse 2, it says, he's referring to the people that we call heroes of faith, that God has let their stories be written up. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation or a good witness, a good testimony. Then it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see, as we look out, we see the earth, we see the stars, that what we now see, it didn't come from any substance. All the substance we see didn't come from any substance, did not come from anything that can be seen. God just simply spoke it and it happened. Do you guys all follow what I just read here? He said that God spoke, something happened, but before God spoke, there was no evidence of it. There was no substance. There was nothing there. Nothing. Now take that thought. Take that thought to the stories that we're going to go through here today. God spoke a very unique promise to each one of these people. But there was no substance, there was no proof of anything before God called them out, before God spoke to them. But today, we see their story, just like we see the earth. We see the stars, we see the moon. Do you think God was saying, there's a pattern here? that when I speak, when I call out, somebody obeys, somebody has faith and believes, there will be a substance that arises from that individual's life that will testify of my goodness for generations to come. So starting in verse 8, I'm going to just start in verse 8, chapter 11 here. We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. But see, he had the call of God upon his life. He went, like he actually went, not knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. When he arrived at what he thought it was his end destination, he still lived there by faith. And he was like a foreigner living in tents. We marvel at Abraham's life, right? We marvel at his faith. Have you ever thought a couple things in Abraham's life? Genesis 18, verse 9 through 15, let's go there. We're just going to pick a couple things out from Abraham's life. Here it says, Abraham had been given a promise of having a son. And then this guy came to visit them and says, he asked, where is Sarah, your wife? The visitor asked, 9. She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself, and she said, could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is already so old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I did not laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Okay, Abraham had a faith and he believed through that. Has any of you that are maybe 40 or older or young too had a word from God of something that you felt he wanted you to do specifically? Imagine you had this word, maybe you as a couple talked about it, what this was, and then you had a visitor show up, and he reminded you of that promise. And your wife or your husband laughed at you for ever having believed that. Like, come on, you're way too old. This is never going to happen in your life. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. There's no possibility. How many of us would choose to obey in a situation like that? See, we look at Abraham's life. We'd love to be like Abraham, right? But what if instead of we would be obedient to the call of God? Or if you're a woman, if your husband would laugh at you, say, like, that's never gonna happen. Not a chance. You were dreaming. Abraham chose to obedient, to be obedient. Can we today, in our lives, our personal life walk, choose to be obedient if the whole world laughs at us? Think about it. If you would be 150 years from now, God would be able to show a future generation his goodness by your obedience. Another person in line here is Moses. Let's go to Exodus 2. Verse 11 through 15. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. See, Moses had a call upon his life. He had a call upon his life to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into Canaan. But he took things in his own hand. He did it his own way. Then Exodus 4:10. See, many times when God puts a call on somebody's life, he takes a long time to come around to actually, like, many times in the Bible we can see where God put a call upon somebody's life and it didn't happen right then. Like, God is not in, doesn't work in the time frame that we think of sometimes. Later, God comes to Moses again, Exodus 4:10. And asked him to go out again. And then Moses said, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled up. Moses, he had a choice to make if he was going to be obedient to the call of God. You know, I'm talking about, today I talk about obedience, but really, it's just faith. It's obedience or it's faith in somebody that is, it's not somebody, it's God. It's obedience or faith in a God that cannot fail. He cannot let down. He's always faithful. He cannot lie. Then in Numbers 20, verses 8 through 12, we read again of Moses. It says, They arrived at a place where the children of Israel had no water. You and Aaron must take the staff, assemble the entire community as the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. See, Moses was just a person like us. He had a call of God upon his life. He was walking in faith, but he got angry here. And he said, "Listen, you rebels," he shouted, "must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the place I am giving them." I want us to think this morning. You know, God has given us many wonderful, beautiful personal promises. Are we going to have faith? Are we going to be obedient to that? So that he can demonstrate his holiness to the people of Israel? Or are we going to fail that? See, Moses and Aaron, they did not get the complete promise that God had intended. I believe God had intended that they would end up in Canaan. But they sold short. Does that mean that Moses was not received by God? No, but he missed out. Sometimes in life we sell short and we miss out. We miss out. Sometimes in life we're not obedient and we miss out. See, what I would want us to capture this morning is I think many of us look around. We see things that are different than ourselves. We make New Year's resolutions. We want to become as, rather than being obedient unto. Because if we're obedient unto, God builds our life. God builds our life. He establishes our life. And if we drop down in Hebrews 11 to 32, verse 8. He's again talking about the examples we have. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice. And it says, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. I'll just look at some of those people's names and look at their journey. Judges 6, verse 11 through 14. It's about Gideon. Says, and the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now look at Gideon's response. If somebody would say to any of you, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you," how would you receive that? How would you receive that? Gideon said, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why all this happened to us? And when are all the and where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt'? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." Has any of you ever asked the question, where is God's power in our generation? I think I've heard it. I think I've heard it a lot. Where are the great things of God that we hear about, our ancestors told about, the revivals they talk about? Where is that? Where is that? We say words like that. "Sir, if God is really with us, why has this all happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors have told us about?" What if instead of becoming as Gideon, desiring to be as Gideon, we would be obedient to the call that God has on my life, on your life? Think about that. That's what God told Gideon to do. He said, "I am sending you." Each one of you has a personal purpose that God wants you to fulfill. He wants you to be obedient to that, because if the world stands in 150 years, he wants to convince somebody that he's good by them hearing of your story. Not so that they want to then become like you. And again, when I say obedient unto, what I really mean by that is to have faith in God. Faith in God that is active, that does what he's called us to do. If we look at David, 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 through 50. Here David showed up. He was a young shepherd. Showed up at battle, and he wants to go fight this Goliath. And this is him speaking to Saul. He says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go on this, in these," he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 stones from a stream, put them into his shepherd's bag, then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog," he roared at David, "that you come to me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here, I will give your flesh to the birds, wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you. I will kill you, cut your head off, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals." Listen to the next words. It says, "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Does that sound like the verse in Ephesians where it says that he wants to display his goodness to future generations? "And everyone assembled there will know the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and the Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Again, we see David, he was, it talked about how much more do I need to say if there would be too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon. And then David's name was there. We look at David's faith there. Do we want to be like David? Would we want to be like David and take any Goliath out in our lives? What if instead of becoming as David, we would just have faith on what God has called us already to do? We would be obedient unto. Then he talked about, and if he were to talk about the prophets, how time would be too short. There's one prophet that I want to just bring his story in here. It's Amos. Amos chapter 7. Starting in verse 10 through 15. So Amos was prophesying. So this guy was responding to the call that was on his life. I just love his response. "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is hatching a plot against you right here on your very doorstep. What he is saying is intolerable. He is saying Jeroboam will soon be killed and the people of Israel will be sent away into exile. Then Amaziah sent orders to Amos, 'Get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is a king's sanctuary and the national place of worship.'" See what Amos' response was? But Amos replied, "I'm not a professional prophet. I've never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from the flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. Do we want to be like Amos? Or do we want to obey like Amos? What if instead of becoming as Amos, we would be obedient unto? I think God has such a special plan for each one of us here. Let's not try to be like each other or like somebody. Let's just respond to his call upon our lives in faith. Like, let's actually respond. Then he talks in Hebrews 11 here. Further it says, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at. Their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. It says, all these people earned a good reputation or testimony, witness, because of their faith. Then it says, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Let's not miss what God has promised for us. Let's not miss what God has spoken to us. See, Peter, Paul, Thomas, all those people, they also missed stuff. And we have too. See, Peter, he was afraid of death and he denied he knew Jesus. But at Pentecost, he arose and proclaimed the resurrected Jesus. See, the blessing that we see as what's written up in Peter's story here, when we see that a person that denied Jesus later proclaimed the goodness of God to a group of 2,000, 3,000 people there, God let that be written up so that we know he's a redemptive God. What about Paul? A murderer, a persecutor of Christians. Another thing is, after he was a Christian, he said, oh, that John Mark guy, I don't want him along. But later, he ministered to the churches, and he also said, you know what, John Mark, bring him along. He's going to be a benefit to me now. I see he's a benefit. But see, there was something he missed because he was not obedient to what the Spirit of God was telling him. Thomas, he doubted when he was told about the resurrection. I think he missed something by doubting. But later, he declared when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God. So just thinking about it, many times we look at the apostles, we look at all the prophets, we look at all the Bible stories, and we sometimes idolize them and wish, I want to be like him. I want to be like him. And the question I have for you, is God asking us just to be obedient rather than to desire to be like them? In Hebrews, I want to just go back to the verse I had read earlier and just recap there. It says, to, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that we now see what we see now. When we look out, we see the stars, the world. It didn't come from any substance, did not come from anything that can be seen. Just bring it to our time. With the word of God spoken to us, his word is here. He has a lot of instructions for us here. Some of the direction and instruction he has given to us, there's no substance of a reason to believe it, right? Or to obey it. But I'm convinced because of what God has shown us through all the generations that if we obey and believe it, it will bring glory to God. He will actually allow our lives to become a story to reflect his goodness if we apply our lives in faith, in obedience to him. Chapter 10, verse 35, it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. That's your obedience or your faith. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. I think we want to receive what he's promised. What are some practical things that we as people we have no substance to actually believe that it would work, but God has called us to do it. What are some things that we as people right here could apply and live out? I hope God has spoken something to you personally. I have put some down here. What if God would be asking us to love each other without partiality? Does that make sense? But what if we would obey? What if we would look around, we'd see people, and in our hearts, we would go all out to encourage them, to lift them up, to enable them to find freedom in Jesus. See, we sometimes see people living like that, and we want to be like them, but we shouldn't. We should just be obedient to the call upon our life. I think we get hung up so much on wanting to be like others, I think in our day and age, there's so many celebrities that we follow. That's how this world is set up. And I think it has influenced the Christian world that we want to become as instead of being obedient unto. What about us just simply rising up, living boldly for Jesus, unashamed to call him Lord? I think deep within our hearts, we desire that. We desire that. Will you respond personally to that call of faith on your life today? Will you respond in faith by obedience? Hebrews 11, the end of the chapter, and into 12, he says, for God has something better in mind for us so that we would not reach perfection, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. He set a race before each one of us. Let's run that race. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's how we're obedient. We're obedient by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So, just in closing here, I want us to remember, as we go away from this, go into our week is, what if instead of becoming as, we would be obedient unto? Let's follow that. I believe that's how God wants to build the church.